Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
You know, I have said for years that it is a good thing to learn by experience, but it's a better thing, listen, to learn by the experience of others. Do you agree? Yeah. Let's let those others go before us. Let them get in the ditch, stump their toe. Man, it's a good thing to learn by experience, but I want to learn by the experience of others. And that's what we're going to do today. Today we continue our series in the book of Romans by faith. And we're going to talk about extra credit today, extra credit by faith. We're going to look at the experience of a couple of guys in Scripture, Abraham and David. Both of these men had what I'm going to describe as colorful lives. If you're a student of the Bible at all and you've read some of the Old Testament, and you'll realize that Abraham and David both had pretty colorful lives. They had a bad side of their lives and they had a good side of their lives. And we're going to learn from their experiences today. You would say that they're just average, ordinary, daily men. However, they were anointed men of God, appointed men of God, who led by faith and led others to follow God in the same way. We're going to learn today from them how we can receive what we are calling extra credit. Do you remember when you were in school, or maybe you are still currently in school, and the teacher would offer extra credit for those assignments? Listen, I'll be the first one to testify this morning that apart from the extra credit assignments, I would still be in the 7th grade. Do I have a witness today? Yes. Extra credit as it was offered, I'm like, I'll take it. And it was deposited, extra credit was deposited into my grading account so that I was able to pass that class. You see, 5 times in this passage, verses 1 through 12 of Romans chapter 4, 5 times in this passage, 9 times in the entire chapter, does the word credited or credits appear. If you're reading from another version, it could be the word counted, or even the word, King James would use the word reckoned, but they all mean the same thing. Credited to your account, and it's actually an accounting term, a deposit made into your account. And this is a big deal. It's a big deal for this word to appear 9 times. God is trying to say, I want you to learn something about what I credit to your account. Let's start. I want to take us through 2 major learning points from these 2 men, from their experiences. I want us to look at the benefits of extra credit. That will be from the life of Abraham. And then we're going to quickly look at the blessings of extra credit from the experience of David. Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. Okay, how about everybody else in the room? If you're with me, say amen. Okay, let's go. Look, I need you with me. Let's engage today. Talk back to me, okay? Let's do this. And let's read from Romans chapter 4. You ready? What then can we say that Abraham, our physical ancestor, has found? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to brag about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. For to the one who works, pay is not considered a gift, but something owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who declares the ungodly to be righteous, his faith is credited for righteousness. Likewise, David also speaks of the blessing of the man God credits righteousness to apart from works. And then he goes on here in verse 7 and 8, and he's quoting from Psalms. How joyful are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. How joyful is the man the Lord will never charge with sin. Is this blessing only for the circumcised then? Or is it also for the uncircumcised? For we say faith was credited to Abraham for righteousness. Well, in what way then was it credited, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while he was circumcised, but uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while still uncircumcised. This was to make him the father of all who believe but are not circumcised, so that righteousness may be credited to them also. And he became the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham had while he was still uncircumcised. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. I want us to first look and learn about this benefit of extra credit. Benefit number one. The extra credit that I receive is the righteousness of God, and benefit number one is that I receive it by faith. Very simply, I receive by faith the righteousness of God. You know, we ask that question, so who are the righteous? Who are the righteous? What is righteousness? In its simplest term, the righteous are those who are in right standing with God. Those that are simply in right standing with God. And to understand righteousness, we also must understand wrath. Because righteousness is on this side, the righteousness of God over here, and then the wrath of God over here. And it's been said before, in order to understand the goodness of the gospel, we've got to understand the bad side of it also. So righteousness and wrath, the righteous are those who have been forgiven of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. But let me help us to understand something today that in our time, and I shared this a few weeks ago at Springdale campus, we've got to understand that our culture misunderstands righteous and righteousness. Because here's the truth. The righteous are not just those who practice right living in moral ways. See, many of us think that, the righteous, that's those people who practice right living and moral ways. The righteous are right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not just a person who looks good, acts good, cleans up, performs good when they need to. Well, that's not the righteous. The righteous are right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the righteous are those who live by faith. The word here tells us that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Righteousness is credited to us by faith. So what does that mean for us? What did that mean for Abraham here? Listen, Abraham believed God. He simply believed God. He didn't question God. He didn't add to what God said. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God. He took God at his word. He trusted God. Faith is trusting. He trusted. He took God at his word. He trusted God. He believed God. Are we also following the same pattern? Have we trusted God's word to be our righteousness, to perform its work in us? Today, let me ask all of us in the room this question today. Can you sit today in this worship center and can you say, I am a righteous person and I am living by faith? Can you say that today? I am a righteous person. And I know what just happened to some people's minds. Some of us said, oh, but wait, Pastor, you know, that sounds a little bit arrogant to me. That sounds a little prideful for you to say, I am a righteous person who lives by faith. That's not arrogant. That's not prideful. That's a fact. You see, it's a fact that I live by faith. It's a fact that I am deemed righteous because of what Christ did in my life. No, I cannot brag according to what it said here. At least I cannot brag before God. You see, I'm not righteous because of self-righteousness. I'm righteous because of spirit righteousness. And can I tell you this? You're talking to a guy that understands unrighteousness. It was the hallmark of my life before I came to Christ. But then something happened. 2 Corinthians 5:21 describes what happened in my life and in your life, those of you who have come to faith in Christ. It describes that what happened from the hallmark of unrighteousness in my life. Here's what happened in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made him, him is Jesus. For God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. I love that verse. God made him who knew no sin but to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Here's what happened in that transaction. In that transaction, my sin was credited into the account of Jesus. And Jesus' righteousness was credited and deposited into my account. That is a pretty good trade. My sin was credited into his account. His righteousness was credited. It was imputed. It was deposited into my account. Wow. The first major experience lesson, number one, from Abraham is that righteousness is credited to me by faith. Very simply. Number two, benefit number two, I can't boast about it. He spoke very clearly here that Abraham had no platform for boasting about his righteousness. If his justification had something to do with his works. Why can I not boast about my righteousness? And the answer is because I had nothing to do with gaining it. I can't boast about it because I had nothing to do in gaining it. You know, in today's sports-crazed world, we see athletes out there, and they're putting up crazy numbers, crazy stats. You know what? If a basketball player comes in here, and if this guy is putting up 45, 50 points a game, and he's talking about it, and he's bragging about it, and this baseball player comes up here, and let's say he's batting 500, that's a reason to brag. That's pretty good. They're doing it. But when it comes to my righteousness, when it comes to my salvation, I didn't do anything to earn it, and I have no position to boast about it. The word here was used, justified. It says that if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to brag about, just not before God. The word justified here, we've taught it before a number of times. It's appeared through these first three books. Chapters in Romans. Justified simply means just as if I had never sinned. That's the easiest definition that you'll ever find to understand the word justified. But here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing. Just as if I had never sinned. The crazy thing about that erasure of sin is that I had no part in the erasure of that sin. Nothing. It was totally by faith, because I had no role in gaining my justification. I had no role in gaining my righteousness. I have no basis for bragging about it. But you know, sometimes I feel the need to boast. I feel the need to boast about the goodness of God. I feel the need to boast about the change that's happened in my life, and that's okay, because we learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, here's what it says. But it is from Him, that's God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who became God-given wisdom for us. Here's what Christ became. Read it right there. Here's what Christ became. Christ became our righteousness. Christ became our sanctification, the setting apart to be useful for God. Christ became my redemption. He bought back the penalty of my sin, and He redeemed me from the clutches of that penalty. That's what the Word says. It says that He is our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, in order that. So why did He do all of that? In order that the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. Man, I want to brag bunch on Jesus. I want to brag on Him for what He has done in my life to redeem me. The major experience, lesson number two from Abraham, boasting about our works doesn't impress God. It may impress others, but it doesn't impress God. I have no cause to boast about my righteousness. Benefit number three. Benefit number three found in this passage would be that I don't receive it as a payment or compensation for works. I don't receive my righteousness as payment or compensation for works. My righteousness, my salvation, was not something I did. It's not something I earned. We read in the scripture here and it says, hey, well, the one who works, what he gets, isn't it already just owed to him? It wasn't a gift. That's correct. So, my righteousness, my salvation, it wasn't something that I did, I earned, or even something I was paid back for. My salvation, my righteousness was credited to my account when I placed my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But here's the great part. You can't miss this. The last part of verse number 5, it says, but to the one who does not work, but believes on Him who declares the ungodly to be righteous, his faith is credited for righteous. Did you pick up on that? God will even declare the ungodly to be righteous. That's me. That was you. That's others in the room today who have never come to Christ, who have never made a decision to surrender to Him, to follow. He will even declare the ungodly to be righteous. He accepts us all. It isn't about how good you are, the works that you've done. It isn't about how bad you are, the evil deeds that you may have accumulated. It is all on even playing ground when it comes to the righteousness of God. I can't do anything for it, and I'm not too bad to not receive it. It is even and it is available by faith through trusting that righteousness is deposited into my account. You know, I love how Scripture defines and confirms Scripture. When I read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it just confirms that I can't do anything, I didn't do anything, for you are saved by grace through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. My righteousness, my salvation was a gift from God, and I can't boast about it. That major experience, lesson number three from Abraham, I cannot earn God's righteousness. It is a gift received by faith. Well, we've learned these three lessons from Abraham. I receive it by faith. I can't boast about it. I don't receive it as a payment or compensation for my works. I want us to look now at David's experience. And let's look at the blessing of extra credit. Blessing of extra credit from verses 6 and 8. It says that likewise, David also speaks of the blessing of the man God credits righteousness to apart from works. How joyful are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. How joyful is the man that the Lord will never charge with sin. That's a quote from Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, which David penned. David was joyful. Other versions may say blessed, but listen to me. If I am blessed, I should be joyful. Amen? We should be living a blessed and a joyful life. David was joyful, and he spoke of the joyful man. But think about this with me. Those of you who know the character David in the Old Testament, how can this guy at this time be speaking of joy when you look and you account everything that went on in his life, especially through a very dark period of his life and his time? Let me help you to understand this guy, David, and let's see if this is the joyful person. And if a person who experiences these things that he experienced is joyful. David was the leader of the entire army, and in the season where armies went out to fight, David stayed home. He wasn't lack of courage. He made a bad decision, and he stayed home. That doesn't cause for a whole lot of joy to be the leader of the army and just stay home and send them out. Nothing to be joyful about. They'll have the victory. He failed to lead his troops to battle. And then he was on top of his roof, and he looks out and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath. And he allowed his lust, he allowed the lust of his eyes to lead to total and absolute sexual failure. Boy, that calls for a lot of joy, doesn't it? A lot of joy. I'm the leader of the army, and I'm staying at home. A lot of joy. I allowed the lust of my eyes to lead me all the way down into horrible sexual failure. Yeah, a lot of joy isn't there. He was sleeping with another man's wife, which resulted in an illegitimate child. Woohoo! Man, now I'm really joyful. And then he led his leadership to help him commit murder and cover the whole thing up. Well, that sounds like a guy living with a lot of joy, doesn't it? You know, the guy who failed to lead his troops to battle, who allowed lust to lead to sexual failure, who was sleeping with another man's wife and ended up in an illegitimate child that ultimately died, lying to his leadership, getting them involved to commit murder of an innocent man, covering up the entire series. Listen, but God said something, and he quoted it here, and he wrote it down, and what God said, David, your lawless acts are forgiven. The things that you did without any consideration for the law of man, the things that you did without any consideration for the law of God, they are forgiven. He said, David, look, your sins are covered. They're covered and no one can see them on your end. They're gone from mine and those around you. Where it was shroud your sin. He said, God said, your sin is covered. And listen, can I tell us all, when God covers your sin, there's no need for you to try to cover it up. Too many of us are trying to cover up our sin because we've never trusted Jesus to cover it all and go forward. Man, I tell you, I don't want to let God cover my sin. But he said all this, he said extra additional to David, he said, the result of your sin will not be charged to your account. Those are joyful words. Thank you, God. Thank you that I've gone through all of these things, but yet you look at me and you say, your lawless acts will be forgiven. I'm joyful. He says, your sin is covered. I'm joyful. He says, the result of your sin will not be charged to your account. Woo! I'm fired up now. That makes me excited because my sin, my lawless acts, it's not credited to my account. I can now live in a joyful way. Those are words that result in joyfulness. The major experience lesson from David is this. The man who God credits with righteousness is joyful. Joyful. Have you been credited with righteousness? If so, you should be living and walking in a state of joyfulness. Now listen to this. Joyfulness should never be something that is centered on things, on possessions, on successes, or on things simply going your way. That is not how you measure joyfulness. Things, possessions, things going your way, successes in your life. Joyfulness should be centered on the fact, listen, as it was in David's life, it should be centered on the fact that my lawless acts have been forgiven. I'm joyful. My sins are covered. The result of my sin will not be charged to my account, all because of the gospel message of Jesus and the finished work of Christ on the cross. I have the righteousness of God, and I can live in a joyful way. Church, I want to ask you today, how joyful are you? Are you joyful? Have your lawless acts been forgiven? Has your sin been covered? Is the credit and the charge of your sin, the payment, the punishment for your sin, not being credited to your account? How joyful are you today, church? Let me ask you this. If this is you, and you are joyful, and you can stand here today and say, man, my acts, they're gone, they're forgiven, they're covered, they're not credited to my account, I am joyful. Could you, with me today, express your joyfulness to the Lord in a big way? Is anybody in the room joyful today? This is good stuff. This is really good stuff. But I want to finish with one warning about extra credit. From the verses from verse 9 through 12, they can get bogged down a little bit with this whole thing. He goes back and forth, circumcised, uncircumcised. And, you know, Pastor preached a great message on this months back about circumcision. It's very, very clear out there, and I'm not going to go into all that today. But you can get bogged down in this whole passage here. But here's what the question was. Well, is the blessing only for those that have been circumcised? And if that's the fact, then how did it end up with Abraham? Because Abraham, it was credited, righteousness was credited to Abraham before he was circumcised. Before. So how does all that work? Faith was credited for his righteousness. So in what way then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while he was circumcised, but while he was uncircumcised, faith was credited to him. And he received after that the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was uncircumcised, and made him the father of all those who believe and are not circumcised, so that the righteousness may be credited to them also. Here's some noteworthy findings that we need to understand from this passage. Listen, Abraham was justified before he was a Jew. Abraham was justified before he followed the Jewish practice. Abraham, if you say, what kind of a guy was Abraham? Abraham was simply a dude who lived in the pagan land of Ur. That's what he was. You see, before he was even sanctified, he lived in the land of Ur. And some of you would say, well, what is that land of Ur? I'd say, I don't know. Where'd he come from? He came from the land of Ur. What did he know about sanctification before he ran into this process? I don't know. You see, some of you walked into the room today, and if I ask you, what does it take to be born again? Some of you be from the land of Ur. I don't know. Don't be caught in the land of Ur. It's not a good place to go. You need to move from the land of Ur. You need to follow it. What Abraham came to. Abraham was justified. He had faith in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness and justification before he had the sign of a Jew, which was circumcision. Before he was justified, he was simply a pagan from the land of Ur. And although he had been sanctified on the inside, Abraham didn't look sanctified on the outside. That's good news for me also. Because, you know, I know this. I tell people all the time, I got saved on a Monday. I got high on a Tuesday. I didn't look too sanctified on Tuesday. But I got born again on Monday night. And I started working through that sanctification process. Take it away from me, God. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live like that. I want to live for you. Sanctify me. Make me set me apart for your kingdom use. You see, although he had been sanctified on the inside, Abraham didn't look on the outside like he was. Apply all those to your life. And then learn this final lesson. Don't let ritual rob you of God's blessing. Don't do it today. You say, Doug, what would that ritual be? Ritual that we learned right here, even from this passage. Don't let the ritual of religious activity rob you of the righteousness of God. There are too many people all across this world who would equate their salvation with how many times they go to church. That ritual could rob you of God's righteousness, the salvation of God in your life. Don't allow that. Your religious activity. You know, I go to church. I give money to the church. I volunteer. I help in organizations. All of these kinds of things. No, don't let your religious activity, your ritual, rob you from God's righteousness. Even ungodly activity. There may be some in the room today. Man, don't let your ungodly activity rob you from the opportunity to have God's righteousness. You say, Doug, I think I'm the worst person in here. Everything that you described about that man called David, it's me. It's me. Listen, if God looked at David and said, listen, all of your horrible, godless, lawless acts, they're gone. They're forgiven. Your sin's covered. And I'm not going to count it to your credit. If he said that to David, he'll say that to you. Don't let your ritual rob you of God's righteousness. Your religious activity, your ungodly activity, or maybe some of us have come into the room today and you've said, I'm not good enough. I just don't measure up. I don't think if I offered myself to God today, I don't think he would take me. And that's not true. Jesus died knowing the condition of man, and he died anyway. You see, there were two ordinary men in this passage, many life experiences that we can learn from today. So by faith, today, will you do something? Will you trust Christ today and experience God's righteousness, that extra credit that can't be earned, but it's credited even to the ungodly who will respond by faith.